Information discussed in this podcast may be sensitive in nature to some listeners. Listener discretion is advised. This podcast is solely produced with the intention of spreading awareness. Facts are verified through public records, police reports, media coverage, and occasionally family or friends of the missing. Any negative comments blaming or shaming the victim or their families may be deleted. This is an independent production. There is no fancy editing and therefore may not be the production some are looking for. Just remember, it takes one person to share information to the right person, and a cold case just might get solved. Growing up, Danielle Sleeper was a friendly and outgoing child. She loved doing things with her family, things like camping, hiking, and going to the beach. She was very close with her older sister and many cousins, and they would all stay close throughout childhood and into adulthood. While many teenagers start dreaming of college, fancy careers, or maybe traveling the country or even the world, Danielle had only one goal in life, and that was to be a mother. Danielle married just after high school, and she and her husband would have two boys. After that marriage fell apart, Danielle remarried and had another son. Being a mom to three boys was the most important thing in Danielle's life. But the second marriage wasn't going as well as Danielle would have hoped, and Danielle struggled with what to do about it. She was a stay-at-home mom, so she knew that leaving would be difficult. In early 2015, however, things in Danielle's life took a drastic and horrible turn. Danielle was trying her best to cope, but she was struggling. In March of 2015, Danielle finally made a tough but necessary decision for her future. Unfortunately, Danielle was not able to put those plans into action. After a night out at a friend's house on March 22, 2015, Danielle suddenly vanished. It would be her parents and her sister who would persuade her husband to report her as missing the following evening. She had left behind very important medication, and some things about her disappearance were not adding up. But mostly, her family knew she'd never leave her boys, and her youngest child, he was only 3 years old at the time. Danielle has not been seen or heard from since the evening of that get-together, and three boys have been growing up without their mom. Where is Danielle Marie Sleeper? Danielle Marie Sleeper was born on May 17, 1982. She, along with her older sister, would be raised in the Magnolia, Texas area by both parents. Danielle's family was very close-knit, and they enjoyed doing many outdoorsy activities together. Things like camping, hiking, going to the beach, and Danielle particularly enjoyed lake life, being near or on the water as much as possible. She truly just loved being outdoors and in nature. The entire family maintained their close bond into adulthood as well. Now, while many teenagers growing up have plans for college or maybe to travel after high school is over, or a career that maybe they have been dreaming about, Danielle just wanted one thing, and that was to be a mother. It was just after she graduated high school that Danielle would get married and have two boys. That marriage would not last, however, and while we really don't know the specifics, and really it doesn't matter, what we do know is that it was a bit of a tumultuous breakup, at least for Danielle, especially when it came to the custody of her two boys. Ultimately, Danielle was awarded legal custody, but the two had a shared custody agreement. After her divorce, Danielle reconnected with a man she had known since childhood, Austin Sleeper. They began talking again, and soon they were in a relationship. Danielle's family was happy for her at first. Austin seemed to treat her good, he treated her two boys good, and things were going well for a while. They settled down in Magnolia, Texas, and soon Danielle became pregnant. Austin and Danielle married, and they soon welcomed a little boy into the family. Danielle wanted to continue being a stay-at-home mom and raising her boys, and Austin supported that. But happily ever after didn't last long, and soon their relationship was starting to crumble. Others began to notice that Austin started treating the other two boys Danielle had with her first husband differently. He wasn't as patient with them as he had been, and he was refusing to buy them anything. But the relationship really took a drastic downward turn in 2015 after the boy's biological father took his two sons to the emergency room with bruises. Child Protective Services immediately took the two older boys away from Danielle and Austin, and they went to go live with their father. Danielle was shocked at this, and she told friends and family that she had never seen Austin hit the boys. In fact, at first she thought maybe her ex-husband was pulling some kind of stunt to try and get custody. But soon she realized the truth when both boys themselves confided to authorities about the abuse at home. Danielle's first husband, the two boys' father, took over custody, with Danielle eventually being granted supervised visitation. Danielle really struggled here with what to do. Her boys were everything to her. But leaving Austin would not be easy. She knew she'd have to fight him for custody of their young son, and she had been a stay-at-home mom. Where was she going to go? Ultimately, however, Danielle knew what she had to do, and she was trying to get her ducks in a row to make that happen. The disappearance. The days in Danielle's life were anything but typical at this time, but certainly nothing in those days before her disappearance had alarmed anyone that something was going to happen. On Friday, March 20th, 2015, Danielle was planning on visiting her mother that day and spending the night. She had her scheduled supervised visits with her two older sons the very next day, and staying at her mom's would put her closer to them. Danielle only had supervised visits every other Saturday at this point, and missing one of these special days was absolutely not an option. Danielle adored her boys and was still the loving and doting mother she'd always been. She had also recently started to realize that her current husband, Austin, might have actually hurt those boys, and she knew she had to leave him. She had a conversation with an attorney regarding this, and that would be Danielle's plan. If she had any hope of regaining custody of those two boys, she had to leave Austin. But Danielle was also scared. She wanted to keep her youngest son safe. He was only 3 years old, and she knew that Austin would definitely fight for custody of him as well, or at least give her a hard time about it. She was also scared for her 3-year-old to be in Austin's care, although there had never been any indication that he had ever harmed his own son. Danielle never arrived at her mom's house as planned that Friday, and when her mom checked in with her looking for where she was, Danielle simply said that she had changed her mind. She would just leave a little bit earlier the next morning to go visit her two boys. Now, this wasn't too alarming for her mother. This whole situation was still fairly new, and she really didn't think any more about it. Saturday, March 21st, Danielle was scheduled to be at her visitation early that morning, but she never showed up. In fact, despite having set multiple alarms, Danielle overslept and missed that visit completely. She believed that someone had turned her alarms off. Austin had made it no secret to her that he did not want the boys coming back to their home, despite Danielle wanting them to so badly. Austin was also seemingly unaware that she was planning on leaving him. Later that Saturday night, Austin and Danielle, along with their 3-year-old son, went to a friend's house for a small get-together. Now, it's not really clear what Danielle's intentions really were at that time. Was she keeping the peace temporarily with Austin until she had answers? Had she not wanted him to know she was leaving yet? The status of their relationship is a little murky at that time. But in any event, they went to this friend's house that Saturday night. At the home was Austin and Danielle, their young son, the couple who lived at the home, and a neighbor who was a mutual friend. The five of them and the little boy hung out that night. They barbecued, they stayed up for a while talking, maybe drinking. And Danielle had said that she wanted to just spend the night at her friend's house that night, but Austin allegedly had a fit and convinced her to come home with him. The neighbor at that get-together left around midnight, and around 1 o'clock a.m., Danielle and Austin, along with their young son, left. They would decide to leave Danielle's car there, and they took Austin's truck home. The following day, Sunday, March 22nd, 2015, Danielle's friend tried to reach her several times. So did Danielle's parents, but they never received any response from her. It was Monday morning when Danielle's parents knew something was very wrong. Austin called them around 8:30 a.m. to ask if they had heard from Danielle, telling them that he had not seen her in over 24 hours. He said he had woke up Sunday morning the previous day and Danielle was sleeping on the couch, as she generally did. When he came home later that afternoon, she was gone. Alarmed, her family tried frantically to reach Danielle with no luck. By late morning, Danielle's dad left work and drove to the home that she shared with Austin. He arrived, he talked to Austin, who continued to say he had no idea where Danielle was, but she was likely just with some of her other friends. Danielle's dad started checking around, and when he came back to Austin's a couple hours later, he asked to see the little boy, his grandson. Austin told him that his mother, Austin's mother, had actually drove in from Louisiana to pick up the boy per his request. The problem was, Austin's mother lived 7 hours away in Louisiana. This means if she made it to Austin's home by that afternoon, she had to have left her home in the morning, long before Austin or anyone thought there was anything wrong. If he believed Danielle was coming right back, or maybe she was just gone for the day or out with friends, why did he send his son to his mother's an entire state away? It was really then that her parents got that sinking feeling and knew that something was going on. They convinced Austin to go with them to the police department and file a missing persons report. They had also learned that Danielle's car had been left at her friend's, but sometime on Sunday afternoon, Austin had went and picked it up and brought it home. Her car was still sitting in the driveway, but Danielle's sleeper had disappeared. The search and investigation. Danielle's family hit the ground running to look for Danielle, and they learned some troubling things. First, they were quite alarmed when Austin told the authorities that Danielle had mental health problems, which included bipolar disorder. Her family had never heard this before. They were completely unaware of any mental health problems that Danielle may have had. She had never been diagnosed with anything previously, at least that they were aware of. Second, they questioned Austin about him calling his mother to pick up his son, and he blew it off, giving no real explanation. Austin also told authorities that Danielle had taken her purse, some clothing, her cell phone, and her seizure medication, something that she had to take every day. But her cell phone, purse, and her medication were all later found inside the home. Investigators would also search Austin's truck after finally obtaining a search warrant to do so, as well as his phone records, but they found nothing of consequence, at least that they have released to the public. With further digging and interviews with some friends and neighbors, a timeline was eventually constructed. Friday, March 20th, Danielle does not show up at her mom's, but plans to go to her Saturday visitation from her own home. Saturday, March 21st, Danielle misses her visitation appointment, apparently oversleeping. This is highly, highly unusual and out of character for Danielle, and Danielle was very upset by this. Her friend invites her over to her house for dinner that evening and also later invites Austin to join them, which he does. Danielle, Austin, and their son will be at this friend's house hanging out until around 1 o'clock in the morning. When they go to leave the friend's place, they are heard arguing outside. Both the friend that lived there and a neighbor heard Danielle and Austin arguing. Danielle had apparently wanted to sleep over at the friend's house, but Austin had insisted that she just come home with him. She finally agrees, they leave Danielle's car there, and they would leave together in Austin's truck. Around 3 o'clock a.m., one of the friends at the home that night texted Danielle to make sure she was okay. They never received a response. Later, authorities would confirm the last activity on her phone was actually pinged at 3:12 a.m., with her phone being shut down after that time. The last known time her phone was ever on was 3:12 a.m., which was just after the text message from a friend. Sunday morning, around 11:30 a.m., Austin leaves their home stating Danielle was sound asleep on the couch. He goes to their friend's house, the same ones who hosted them for dinner the night before, picks up a couple of people who agreed to help him move some furniture that day at a local business. Austin drops them back off at home around 3:30 p.m., telling them he'd come back for Danielle's car soon. About an hour later, at 4:30 p.m., he arrives at the friend's house again. This time, he is in a car with two other people in it. They drop him off, in which he proceeds to get into Danielle's car and drive it home. Austin has their son with him this entire time. He said that when he returned home, Danielle wasn't there, speculating that she must have left on foot or someone had to have picked her up. Monday, March 23rd, Austin calls Danielle's parents to see if they had heard from her. They have not, and they are instantly worried. Sometime this morning, he also calls his mom to arrange for her to come pick up his young son. Danielle's mother calls Danielle's father, who was at work, and lets him know what was going on and just that she had a bad feeling about all of this. He decides to make the hour drive and go to their house and see for himself to see what is going on. He shows up around noon that day, and Austin tells him that he doesn't know where she is. He doesn't know where Danielle is at all. Austin still has his son. Danielle's father leaves to look around for her, and when he returns a very short time later, he notices that the little boy is no longer there. When he asks Austin where he is, Austin tells him that he called his mother, who again lived in Louisiana, to drive to his house and pick up the boy. Austin's mother lives in Louisiana, and this is quite a drive. So Austin must have called her much earlier in the day, which seemed odd to everybody. That night, Monday night, the 23rd, Danielle becomes an official missing person. Danielle's family began searching relentlessly. They hung up flyers. They created bumper stickers. They pleaded for help from anyone and everyone. Soon, even Texas Equisearch joined in, and wooded areas, fields, and waterways were all searched. They used helicopters, boats, and they even brought in specialized dive teams to search nearby retention ponds and creeks. But heavy rainfall in the days after her disappearance created challenges, and many times those searches had to be called off. Austin would soon be arrested on child abuse charges, stemming from the incident with Danielle's two older boys, but he continues to maintain that he knows nothing at all about Danielle's whereabouts. Interestingly, several days after Danielle disappeared, her phone was activated and pinged a few miles from her home. Deputies responded to that area and they searched, but they found no sign of Danielle or her phone or any connection that Danielle might have had to that area. But was it just a technical error with the phone or the phone company? This has been known to happen in more recent times. I've seen this in a few other cases. And we did learn later that law enforcement eventually found Danielle's phone in the home. But what I'm not clear on is if the phone was found before or after that alleged ping. Search teams also focused on an area where the local Renaissance Fair was held, as Danielle had worked there before, and it was an area that she was known to be and something that she had enjoyed. But again, nothing was found. After just about a week, without any additional leads and without any support from law enforcement, Texas Equisearch left, stating that without any additional information, there was just nothing more they could do. There would be a few other red flags uncovered as well. The story would change a few times about what Danielle was likely wearing. Of course, the media is broadcasting Danielle's disappearance locally, and the family's printing flyers. They wanted to have accurate information, so anyone who might have seen Danielle or who might see her would have more information to recognize her with. But the frustration would grow when that description continued to change. Originally, they were told that Danielle was wearing a t-shirt and sweatpants, and that would make sense. If she had returned home from a friend's house and went to go to sleep, she'd probably changed clothes, and that's likely what Austin had last seen her in, since he had seen her sleeping. The only clothing of Danielle's that could not be accounted for was the exact outfit she wore to her friend's house the night she was last seen. A friend also stated that Austin was acting kind of jealous and strange in the days before Danielle's disappearance. And a few days into the search for Danielle, he had even texted her mom a picture of Danielle sleeping on a friend's couch. And in this picture, there was also another man sleeping on the other part of the couch. There wasn't anything nefarious about this photo. Both were fully clothed on separate parts of this sectional couch. And the friend stated that they had just fallen asleep there after hanging out for the evening. Danielle's family was also confused because this picture was sent to them a few days later with no context and seemed quite random. The fact that Danielle seemed to leave everything behind, including her seizure medication that she had taken every day, and the fact that she had ceased contact with everyone, was alarming. This was a woman who doted on her kids and spoke to her family every day. But to this day, over a decade later, Danielle Sleeper remains a missing person. Magnolia, Texas. Magnolia, Texas is a small but growing city located in Montgomery County. This is about 45 miles northwest of downtown Houston. It sits near the edge of the Piney Woods region, which gives it a mix of rural, of wooded areas, and suburban development. Magnolia is bordered by other faster-growing areas, such as the Woodlands, Tomball, and Conroe, and residents often commute to nearby cities for work. There's not much work in Magnolia itself. Now, while crime rates are generally considered lower than in the major urban areas, the area's mix of rural woods, wooded terrain, kind of vast expanse areas with nothing, and a new population of transient growth has known to complicate missing person investigations or any criminal investigation in that area. Now, Magnolia is also an area where people tend to know their neighbors. There's a population of just over 2,000 residents. Everyone kind of knows everybody in one of those towns where everyone kind of knows your business, which makes Danielle's disappearance all the more unsettling to the entire community. Now, there are a few nearby bodies of water. Lake Conroe, a large 21,000-acre reservoir just north of Magnolia. And this is a popular area for boating, fishing, swimming, and recreation activities. Spring Creek. This is a natural creek, a tributary of the San Jacinto River that runs through parts of Montgomery County right near Magnolia. And there's also Lake Cecil and Cacho Lake, smaller lakes listed as local scenic spots, very close to Magnolia also. Now, Magnolia itself isn't directly located on a major river or a major body of water, but it's within a very short driving distance to significant reservoirs and waterways that are common kind of day trip destinations for boating, fishing, and recreation. And the Gulf Coast is just over an hour's drive away as well. I was able to find that Danielle lived on Turtle Dove Lane. This is a residential street, and kind of by looking at the Google Maps view of it, houses are very scattered. They tend to have large lots, and in fact, it looks like many of them, you can't even see your neighbor from them. So it's a fairly private residential street. This is where Danielle lived with Austin and their son. But Danielle was last seen by others that night of the get-together at a home of their friends. Now, this home was located on Bowler Road, about 20 minutes drive away. The area in between is pretty rural, scattered homes, maybe some small businesses here and there, lots of vacant land, lots of patches of woods, which just have a lot of people wondering, Did Danielle actually make it home from that house, from that barbecue, from that get-together that night? Or did something happen to her after she left the friend's house, but before she made it home? Other missing persons from Magnolia, Texas. Despite Magnolia being such a small town with a population of just around 2,000 residents, Danielle Sleeper is not the only missing person from this region. Most recently, authorities are searching for Roxana Pacheco. Roxana is a teenage girl last seen in Magnolia in March of 2025. Police believe she might be in the New Caney or Porter area of Montgomery County. She is described as standing 5 foot tall, weighing around 135 pounds. She has a semicolon tattoo on her wrist. Traveling back to 1993, we have the disappearance of Jane McDonald Crone. Jane was a 34-year-old woman in November of 1993 who disappeared, allegedly after visiting nightclubs in Harris County. Her abandoned car was found days later, but she was never seen again. This remains an open cold missing person case, although I have seen unconfirmed reports that she was found deceased in Mexico. However, U.S. authorities state that she is still a missing person. Jane also resided in Magnolia. Another cold case involving a Magnolia, Texas woman is the case of Rita Mae Hughes. Rita was reported missing in December of 1986 and was possibly last seen in the Houston, Texas area. Her file indicates that foul play is suspected and DNA data has been entered into national databases. Rita was raised in Magnolia, Texas, and was still living there when she disappeared. Rita is still listed as a missing person. About 30 miles away is the town of Spring, Texas, where 16-year-old Allie Lowitzer vanished from on April 26, 2010. Allie was last seen getting off her school bus near her house and beginning to walk the very short distance, about a quarter of a mile, to her job at a local restaurant called the Burger Barn. That was the last confirmed sighting of her before she vanished without a trace. She never made it to the Burger Barn. Now, while Spring is a bit of a distance from Magnolia, it's really only about a 45-minute drive. Allie's case is one I've covered before and also one I continue to watch closely. Now, of course, there is no indication that any of these cases are related in any way, but it's important to continue to share these disappearances. I also find it sad that there are multiple missing persons from such a small area and such a small town as Magnolia, where, honestly, one case is one too many, let alone three or four. Theories and possibilities. Let's talk about the possibilities here in the case of Danielle Sleeper. Theory number one, foul play. Now let's start with the one that most people believe, although authorities have never really shared what their thoughts are. Many people point the finger at her husband. They were having problems. He had a history of being violent. He was acting strange both before and after her disappearance. And most importantly, he was the last known person to see her. If he was involved, he had a window of time from about 4:30 p.m. on Sunday to the following morning before he saw Danielle's parents. This would be more than 12 hours to drive somewhere with Danielle and drive back home. Authorities have, however, stated that his phone records did not give them any information to believe that he had traveled anywhere, or if they do have any information indicating such, they have kept it close to the vest. They have never named him as a suspect or even a person of interest. There is just no evidence that we are aware of, and while many believe that he was involved, there's many people from that area who knew him, who have defended him and stood up for him. Regardless, people believe something bad must have happened to Danielle because she would never leave her boys or her family. And it could have been someone else, someone other than Austin, had she left her home on foot and encountered trouble along the way, at the hands of a stranger possibly, or even someone else that she knew. Was she picked up by someone? And if so, who? Theory number two, left on her own. Danielle was struggling. She had just lost custody of her two older boys. She was kind of stuck in a bad relationship. She was fearful for her youngest son. Could she have left on her own? While possible, there are a few reasons most people do not believe this could be the case. First, why leave her young son with a man that was known to be an abuser to her other sons? Why not take her young son with her if she was going to leave? This little boy was only 3 years old. And we know that Danielle was a doting and loving mother. Or why not take any money or necessary medication with you? If you're planning to leave, even spontaneously, even if you don't take any personal belongings, such as clothing or cell phone, maybe you don't want to be tracked, would you not at least find a way to take some money and your very necessary medication? Danielle has been missing now for over a decade, and there have been no sightings of Danielle. Had she left on her own, would we have sightings coming in, possible sightings coming in of her from wherever she had gone? There has also not been any activity on her bank accounts, her social security number, or her driver's license. Now, while this is still a possible theory, it just doesn't feel like a likely theory. Theory number three, self-harm. Was she struggling enough to do something to herself? But if so, where did she go? Did she walk off and go somewhere? And if she had, why hadn't anyone reported seeing her walking anywhere? And where did she end up where she has not been found? We know that she was in a tough place and she was dealing with a lot when she disappeared. An intense custody battle with her ex-husband, and facing the fact that her current husband might have been abusing her kids. She was also raising a three-year-old with him. It was a lot to handle. It would be for anyone. Had she just had enough? Now, while most people who knew her said there was no way Danielle would harm herself, we also don't know everything that's going on in people's minds. But if this is something she did, where is she? How has she remained hidden for so long? And why leave behind her three-year-old, possibly in a dangerous situation? This is another theory that, while it might be possible, it just doesn't seem very likely. So what do you think happened to Danielle Marie Sleeper? Danielle is described as a Caucasian woman with brown hair and brown eyes, standing about 5'5" tall and weighing around 120 to 130 pounds at the time she vanished in March of 2015. She was 32 years old. There were different reports of what she might have been wearing, as I had mentioned earlier. It was either a gray t-shirt and black sweatpants, or what they believe now is a black t-shirt, a jacket made of stretchy camouflage print material with a hot pink trim, dark blue jeans, a black belt with a silver buckle, and sterling silver jewelry. Danielle has a tattoo on her right ankle of a frog with the name Colton on top and the name Dylan on the bottom, a tattoo of a red, orange, and yellow cross between her shoulder blades, and a tribal tattoo on the top of her foot. Anyone with any information on Danielle Sleeper is asked to contact the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office at 936-760-5876. Anonymous tips can also be submitted through the Multi-County Crime Stoppers by calling 1-800-392-STOP. That's 1-800-392-7867. Tips through Crime Stoppers are always handled so that your identity is not revealed. You can remain anonymous. Please keep sharing Danielle's story and let's keep her name out there. Her family has waited over a decade for answers, and three young boys have had to grow up without their mother in their lives. They deserve answers. More information about this case will always be on our website in the future, but I do want to recognize a few sources used in this episode. The Houston Chronicle, KTRK TV Houston, the Bring Danielle Home Facebook page, KHOU, the Danielle Hallin YouTube channel, and the Charlie Project. If you do want to follow along and keep up to date on Danielle Sleeper's story, the family has set up the Facebook page, Bring Danielle Home, to keep her case out there. This page is monitored by family, and I do want to remind everyone to be very careful when you follow social media pages and make sure you're following authentic, true pages that are being monitored by someone close to the case. I also want to give a big thank you to Megan for recommending Danielle's case to me. Danielle's name needs to stay in the public eye, and we need to continue to talk about her, share her name, share her photos, and keep her story out there. This is definitely a case where someone out there likely knows something. Make sure you are following the Where Are They podcast over on the socials. We will put any updates or any news over there first. We will also share additional information and photos. If you head to our website, you can follow our blog. We do share more missing person cases there, as well as more source material and photos. You can find our blog on our website at wherearethepodcast.com. Consider joining us on Patreon as well. There you can find bonus episodes and ad-free episodes of all of our regular shows as well. I want to extend a big welcome and a huge thank you to our newest patrons, Joe S. and Angela H. Thank you so much for joining us over there and for supporting what we do. We truly couldn't keep this show going without you. I always welcome all feedback and case suggestions. You can hit me up on the socials anytime or send me an email. All of those links will be in the show notes. And again, thank you to Megan for sending me Danielle's case. We will be back again very soon with another Unsolved Missing Persons episode. And until then, stay safe and hug your loved ones.